Yes. Just a nice chilled out way to bring things in tonight.
Man, sorry, I meant to do it.
More up-tempo? That's fine, bud. That's just so romantic, man.
Get out of here.
Why are you playing this?
Because once again, he's fooling around doing So What Are You Doing, Man?
I'm trying to clean this out.
If that's a crack pipe, someone's ass gets kicked, and I think it's yours.
No, man, I have a crack pipe. It's only crumb.
What is that glass tube? Is that actually a test tube?
Yeah.
What are you doing with that?
I don't get it out of that chemistry kit.
Anyway, welcome to the program, World Famous Phil Henry Show. And, yeah, it's a nice chill. Well, you know what? I figure the way people are probably traveling tonight, maybe we need to kind of keep it low-key here because, according to the news, I guess the traffic is bad. And that's not the news flash. The news flash, well, we'll have Dave Oliva on in a few minutes to talk about what the news flash is, but apparently this night tonight is particularly dangerous when it comes to the Thanksgiving travel. So I just thought that I'd let you all in on that one. I don't want anybody to worry, but that's the word, man. But first, I'm going to head over to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted Bell is with us.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Am I on yet?
Not yet, hold on.
Steakhouse, okay. Come on down,
Ted's of Beverly Hills, and are we open on Thanksgiving? You better believe we're open on Thanksgiving. People eat on Thanksgiving. Why would I close my restaurant on a day when people eat? I've always wondered about that. And, of course, we're going to be open tomorrow, Phil. We'll be serving up turkey with all the fixings, all the trimmings. And we're going to be, as well, of course, enjoying ourselves with so many. What are you doing? Okay, I'm trying to seat people, Phil, at the same time as being on the air with you here.
Well, is there somebody else that can do that? Because we have a segment to do here.
No, you're right. Just take them and put them in the back of the room. No, I don't want to even look at him. It's somebody that I'd rather not be here, and I don't want to mention who, but my ex-partner.
And, how you doing, Billy?
So I've got them in the back, and so anyway, Phil, it's nice to be with you and everybody there.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Ted. Now, you were going to give us a turkey recipe, right?
Yeah. I wanted to give you this. This is a stuffing recipe, which is what they said they wanted.
Well, Bud called you, right?
Well, yeah, he called me up and he said he wanted a stuffing recipe. Now, I had thought I'd made it clear, and I guess I didn't make it clear, that I don't, you know, stuffing a turkey, the whole idea of stuffing a turkey bothers me. And, you know, for that to happen, what is this?
This is Turkey in the Straw, yay, for this segment.
Can you have him turn that off, please?
Okay, so what, turn it off, bud.
No, it's for this Thanksgiving segment.
Oh, I don't care if it's for a Thanksgiving segment. You got to turn that off. The people can't hear me, can they?
Why are we... Turn that off, bud.
Mr. Hall said.
Turn it off.
You get a sponsor for it.
Bud says they have a sponsor for this. I don't know.
A sponsor?
Wait, hold on for just a minute. Hold on for a minute. Turn that down, will you, please? What do you mean a sponsor?
Let me get the guy on. His name is Burford. Jim Burford, and he is with the... Well, it's Burford Farms. Okay, I know where those guys are. They're over here in Camarillo, and they are... Apparently, they've got the frozen turkeys. Jim, how are you?
Oh, hi.
And so, you're sponsoring this segment?
Yes, I am. I didn't know that I was going to be... thought you people were aware of that. But I want turkey in the straw plate.
Hi, Jim. This is Ted Bell. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Yes, I know who you are, sir.
Okay. This is my segment. And, you know, I'd rather that...
The synergy, I think, is there.
No. What do you mean synergy?
Okay, hold on, gentlemen.
No, I got it. What do you mean synergy?
I wanted to have turkey in the straw for Buford Farms turkeys. And they said they'd give me the first segment here, so...
All right, so who sold you that?
Well, do you really want to talk about it here?
Well, yeah, I...
That was Mr. Hall.
Yeah, Mr. Hall sold that.
Well, Phil, you're talking about business now.
No, I know that I'm talking business.
Yeah, we have to talk business because this is my segment.
Well, no, I know that, but what I'm saying is this is a perfect thing for your segment, playing turkey in the straw, because what this does is it lets people know... See? Buford Farms with the great turkeys and then Ted Bell's restaurant.
No, I don't think so, man. No, that's not going to happen.
Well, let me explain something to you. I paid top dollar.
Okay. Turn it off, will you?
No, no, you will not turn it off. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. I want that Buford Farm turkey. So when you're not eating at Ted's of Beverly Hills, I think what we could do, Mr. Bell, is have a synergistic relationship. And people will, whenever they think of you, they think of me.
No, 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 thank you. No, I certainly appreciate the thought. But no, Ted Bell, I don't do that. I'm not going to do that, okay?
What was that?
I think that was the beginning of another song. We have a problem, gentlemen, and like all problems, there's a solution. If I can get David Hall on the line, and I'm going to ask Bud Dickman to do just that.
Wait.
And we'll see what we can do, okay?
This is not the time or the place to have some sort of half-assed conference call on a sales conference. You know, I'm trying to tell you that I've always sponsored this segment.
Now, I know you have. So something has happened that I was not made aware of.
You were not told, Mr. Henry?
Mr. Buford, no, I wasn't. I wasn't told that you were going to be in this segment. I was told that you were signed as a sponsor.
Well, no, the very first segment of the program was going to be me, and then I would talk to Ted about the turkeys and what he's doing, and we would talk to each other, and hopefully we'd get together at each other's place of business. I had these straw hats made up, and...
Straw? What does that mean, straw hat?
Well, there was going to be a photo shoot tomorrow morning, and you and I shaking hands over a fence, and a turkey is there.
Oh, that's not going to happen. Somebody's got to talk to me about this stuff.
All right, where's David?
David Hall, line 3.
David, you got a problem here, and...
I got a problem.
You got two guys here, two sponsors on the line here, that are not very happy.
Who am I talking to?
Bill Buford.
Ted Bell, David, and what I'm told is that you've got this guy with his turkeys...
Oh, yeah. This is the synergy that I was talking about. I was trying to talk to Phil about Phil and his understanding stuff. I want to get the synergy between this guy selling turkeys and your steakhouse. And that's why I said, well, you come on in the first segment. And where's the music?
Wait, hold on for just a minute.
Yeah.
First of all, you're asking for all this stuff. My understanding was that I was going to be the main sponsor of it. Yeah, there it is. That's it. Yeah. Doodle.
Yeah, see, I like this.
I don't like it. Hey, Hall. Yes, I'm right here. You don't have to yell. It's not like I'm in the next room. I'm right here on the phone with you.
Yeah, okay.
Do you hear this cornball? This is not what people think of when they think of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Some guy playing a fiddle. I can almost see a guy. Oh, man. See a guy what? So I can almost see some hillbilly dancing around in overalls. That's not Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, I take a little bit of exception to that, Mr. Bell. I've been a big fan of your restaurant. I'm just saying that Buford Farms turkeys are moist, they're tender, they're willing.
Moist and tender and willing. I am not going to be associated with a sales pitch like that. You can forget about it.
Wait, hold on for a minute, Bell. You got a contract with us. You've already paid. You might as well get the airtime out of it.
Well, you're not going to put me on the air with some guy.
I'm not some guy. I'm a sponsor as well, Mr. Bell. I'm giving you respect. We're talking about Buford Farm turkeys. Moist, tender, willing. They yield. They surrender.
All right. Hold on for a minute. And tell David I'm sorry I put him on hold along with everybody else. I don't like that message either.
What is this moist, tender, and they're willing?
I don't know, but it's...
Well...
No. Don't give me this stuff about, hey, that's how they sell turkeys, okay?
You know, Phil, I grew up on a farm in upstate New York. I was in a place called Canandaigua. You know where that is?
Yeah, I think I do, yeah.
You think you do? Well, you know it's in New York State, right?
Yes, I think so. When it says Canandaigua?
Yes. Now, we had a turkey farm that was down. We didn't raise them ourselves. My father was a dairy farmer. But down the road, there was a turkey farm. And I would go down, I'd look at the turkeys, and then I'd turn around and walk back. I found nothing interesting about them at all. And my voice is cracked. Give me water again, Dickman.
Yes, sir.
But I would go down, and I would look at the turkeys. And then I would turn around and walk home, bored silly. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Right. Okay.
Well, what does that mean, right?
Well, okay, so in other words, you don't know what he's talking about, neither do I.
But the general does have some background.
That's it. I have background on it.
Yeah, okay, you live down the street from a turkey farm. You'd walk down there, look at them.
Yes, and turn around and go home.
Turn around and go home.
See, that's why I joined the Army. It was just I had to do something fast or I was going to go out of my mind.
Right. All right, so we'll be back here with more from Ted Bell. We have Bill Buford from Buford Turkey Farms. They're moist, tender, and willing.
Yeah, it's almost, there's something almost sexual about it.
Well, man, just figure that out now?
Yeah, there's something pretty weird about that. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to find out just exactly what it is they're talking about, we're talking about, you're talking about, and our number, by the way, 855-500-7445. Hey, Bud, what are we trying to do, man? Drive everybody nuts with depression here tonight? What is this?
This sounds like a funeral dirge.
Do-do-do-do.
Put on something up-tempo, man, before I kick your... Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Starting out with Bob Marley and Turkey in the Straw.
That's uplifting.
I hold you.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Go ahead, Buford.
Oh, thank you, Ted. This is Bill Buford. When you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, you can also enjoy the moist turkeys that we have at Buford.
You
got to
do it faster. What do you want me to do?
All right, take it easy. David Hall is on the line with us as well. What we've had is a little bit of a scheduling problem. That's the way I see it.
No, it's not a scheduling problem. No, it isn't. This is the synergy that I've been looking for.
Hey, well, let me tell you something, okay? This is Ted.
I know who it is. I know your voice anywhere, Ted. It cuts through everything, okay? I know you.
Well, it's fine, you know, but... So you know me, huh? Do you know my money?
Now, look, Bill, we don't have to get rough about this.
You know my money, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. I didn't say that I wanted to be... Well...
You guys agreed during the break you weren't going to argue about this. Didn't you agree that you would work Mr. Buford into this commercial break, into this particular segment, and then we'll work out later where he can be? You're all right with that, Mr. Buford, right?
I'm fine with it, Bill. We just want to get the message out before Thanksgiving that tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving, but if you haven't purchased your Buford turkey yet, you're going to want to purchase your Buford turkey. As we mentioned, they're moist, they're succulent, they're tender, they're alluring.
What?
Please don't mess with the message, okay?
Well, I got to tell you, that's the part that I got a problem with, all right?
Is anybody talking to you about your message? We want to put our meat? You know what your thing is talking about, where to put the meat.
I'm talking about steak, okay?
Yeah, okay, whatever you say. So why can't Buford have the message?
That was my message. That's what I said to Mr. Hall during the sales meeting. I said, if you've got, what's your name again, sir?
My name is Ted Bell. You don't know who I am?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm up to my ass in turkeys. I don't know anything about steaks, steakhouses, Beverly Hills, nothing. I'm Bill Buford, and I know turkey. If there's one guy that knows turkeys inside and out, it's me.
I'll bet you do.
All right, Bill, that's not necessary, okay? This is a guy that's trying to make a living just like you, okay? He's trying to make a beautiful dollar.
He might be trying to make a dollar. I don't know how beautiful it is.
I can tell you, Mr. Bell, I wanted to be on this segment because I understood this segment was a rather liberal segment of the Phil Henry Show with the whole we want to stick the meat.
No. Excuse me, sir. It's not we want to stick our meat anywhere. It's a very well-crafted advertising message that I paid top dollar for in New York City, Madison Avenue, advertising agency, big money. You get it, okay? I'm kicking back the 15% to these bloodsuckers, and I don't know how much you paid for yours.
Something that I crafted myself along with my wife, Mitzi, and we think it's, you know, our turkeys are warm, juicy, succulent, willing, loose.
What does that mean, if you don't mind me asking, sir?
Is this the host of the show I'm speaking to?
Yeah, this is Phil Henry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but you're not in... This is an advertising meeting, okay?
Phil, if you could just butt out for a second.
Wait a minute. It's in the middle of my show, and we're on the air.
Yeah, I understand that, but we're talking about crafting a message here, and we don't need you, the host, butting in and messing it up, okay? Your job is to simply pitch it. Your job is to sit here and start critiquing it.
I'll tell you, I'll critique it. I'm Ted Bell, okay? Ted Bell. My name is over Beverly Hills, California. You want me on the same segment with some guy who's got a turkey farm somewhere, and his turkeys are moist and willing? Woo! You guys really were born with an oversized pear. An oversized pair.
Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment, Mr. Bell.
Talk much?
Yeah, about as much as you do. And I don't have an overbite. Oh!
Hall, you better get him out of here before I kill him. Gentlemen, hold on for just a minute. I think that the two of you can work out a very nice message together the way we practiced it during the last break. I think it's going to work well. And Ted, your jingle, the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle, leads the way. So let's, come on, guys. Let's try it one more time. Here's the music. Thank you, bud. Go ahead.
All right.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. This is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Here's my good friend, Bill Buford, from the Buford Turkey Farms.
Why, thanks a lot, Ted. You know, every time somebody comes to your restaurant,
you gotta do it faster than that. Cue the music. Cue Bill's music. Get Bill's music on there. There we go. Okay, now.
Thanks a lot, Ted. Yeah, listen, Ted, you know, while everybody is getting their meat ready to be put into a mouth somewhere.
All right, that's, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, it's funny.
Yeah, you can't laugh at it, Buford.
The guy's message is funny. You paid how much?
Hey, sunshine.
Hey, don't call me sunshine. Don't. You can say anything you want.
All right, hold on, guys, because this is out of control.
Hey, Phil.
This is out of control, and you're not doing a very good job controlling. Turn that down, will you, please? Now, what is the message? The idea is for Ted to do the pitch and then for Buford to come in.
Oh, it's Buford now. It's not Bill?
I mean Bill to come in and to do his turkey thing?
Yeah, the idea was I do the initial pitch for Ted's of Beverly Hills, and then here's my good friend Bill Buford to tell you about turkeys. I don't understand how it fits together, but this is Hall's idea. And why? Because Hall's the guy that sold this segment without telling me, Ted Bell, longtime advertiser.
Well, look, it's going to help everybody, okay? Everybody gets well. Everybody gets a piece of the pie, all right? It's dessert time. Grandma's bringing it out.
Enough, will you? Hall, I don't need all these analogies. All right, go for it.
All right, you understand where we're going with this, okay, Buford? You ready?
Yes, I think I've got it.
All right, here we go. We start off with Ted's jingle. You do the pitch, then turkey in a straw. It's beautiful.
Table 3, will you? I gotta do a commercial.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Oh, God.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Yeah, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills and enjoy a really juicy, thick, moist, succulent steak. And here's my pal Bill Buford to tell you about turkeys.
Well, thanks a lot, Ted. You know, folks, when you aren't putting your meat in, well, you know how Ted says it. Come on down to Buford's Turkey Farm. We have turkeys. I'll tell you what, if you can't get what you need at Ted's, these turkeys have been waiting all day.
Yeah, see, that doesn't work. I'm telling you, it doesn't work.
Wait, hold on for a minute. Tell the music, bud. What doesn't work about it?
Can I jump in, please?
Oh, here he is again.
Yeah, the host of the show, yeah. First of all, Bill is trying to make a joke out of the put the meat in the mouth and all that stuff. Secondly...
Well, why wouldn't I want to do that?
Because it's not a part of the first part of the message, that's why.
Secondly, I don't know. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah, thank you. Henry finally woke up. Yeah, there's something wrong with it.
We can get this straight. I swear to God we can get it straight now. One more time. Come on, just one more time. Give it a try, Ted. Here we go. Ted's of Beverly Hills, take one. I mean, take 15.
Yeah.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Everybody, Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, if you want a nice, thick, juicy steak, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Of course, it is Thanksgiving, so how about a turkey? Here's my friend, Bill Buford.
Well, thanks a lot, Ted. At Buford's Turkey Farm, the turkeys are lonely. They need a little, you know, what only you can give them.
How's that?
There's got to be more to it than that.
What only you can give them?
No, it's a play on...
Yeah, you know what, I'm out. I'll leave the phone line open, but I gotta go and I gotta do... You know, I got a living to make here, okay? Look, I think we work on it. Is Bill there?
I'm right here, Hall.
What's with Hall?
Because I'm not happy with what you've done here. I got this guy hanging up on me. Buford's Turkey Farm is a class operation. And the turkeys have... you may not think much of our turkeys, but I picked them up out of the gutter and made them what...
All right.
Wait a second. That's your new sponsor, Bill Buford.
Yeah. Well, Bill, welcome to the show. Bill Buford Turkey Farm, where the turkeys are moist and willing. I'm telling you, someone's going to lose their gig over this, man. Someone's going to lose a lot of money. Ted's right. He doesn't want to be associated with a message like that. I don't blame him. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's see what depressing music Bud can send us out on here. It's 855-500-7445, 855. Holy God, Bud, would you pick it up, man?
No kidding, man. I'm, you know, this is not funny anymore. Sorry.
Jesus, it's like I'm in a funeral parlor or something. All right, we'll be back here. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Dave Oliver with some traffic news for us coming up next. Don't forget Buford turkeys, man. They're moist and tender and well-dressed. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What's the problem now?
Well, the gentleman, Mr. Buford, called back. Bud, you took the call.
Yeah, he called back and he said that Obama pardoned Turkey, and it's all wrong, all wrong.
What do you mean it's all wrong?
You tell him.
Yeah, I said Obama pardoned Turkey. Well, let me do it, all right? These two idiots, you know, I love and respect both of you, Robert and Bud, but the two of you are a couple of imbeciles, and neither one of you should have been let out of the house this morning without a leash. Now, the...
All right, General, what's the point?
The point is that this man, Buford, was, what's wrong?
I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of hiss tonight on the line. Oh, I know what it is. I'm getting that second line. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know these technical things, and when you start acting squirrely...
I'm sorry, General. I took your mind off of what you were saying. What is it?
Man Buford called. He spoke to Dickman. He said he saw on TV that a turkey was being pardoned, and that this turkey...
Get him some water. You know what? You may have to go to the doctor or something.
I'm fine. That the turkey, Obama pardoning the turkey, was just one more example of this president's failed policies, given the fact that he is the owner of a turkey farm. And Buford went on and on about how, don't you understand? And I finally said to him, Buford, I'll come through the phone on you as sure as God made green little apples, so hang up before you die. And that's when I heard the dial tone, so...
All right, so now you're threatening my sponsors.
Well, Phil, you know...
I wouldn't blame the general. I thought Buford was out of line. Why would he call us up and complain about Obama?
I don't know, but I mean, if the guy's a potential sponsor, did you have him call up David?
I said, Buford, why don't you call David Hall instead of wielding my permanent? And that's when he got really angry, and he said, well, you liberals... And I said, I'm not a liberal, but you know what? For today, I think I will be. If you don't hang up, I'm coming through the fiber optics, and I'm all over you like stink on you-know-what. And he said, oh, I know the word you're thinking of. I said, you're right. Your wife's cooking. And that's when he hung up, and...
That's pretty good line, got to admit.
Yeah, that's fine, man, if you're testing out your one-liners on a potential sponsor.
Well, Philly was out of line, I thought.
All right, maybe he was. We'll talk to Buford later, okay? In the meantime, I got to get on the line here, Dave Oliva. Dave is with us. Dave is an aspiring Los Angeles City police officer. That's what he would like to become. He's currently taking criminal justice, law enforcement, and relative topics at L.A. Canyon College. And he joins us on the Newsmaker line tonight to talk about the Thanksgiving traffic situation. I understand, Dave, are you out there as part of a... You know, we have a Citizens Auxiliary Police that we occasionally interview on the program. Are you out there with those guys?
You know, I'm out here on my own. I know that there is a guy here, Mr. Santos, who I know you have spoken with in the...
I'll talk with him later.
Yeah, Mr. Santos is here, who's looking at the traffic, but I have nothing to do with him, okay?
Yeah, because we got some appearances on the show tonight of some guests that we didn't anticipate. Now, if Jay's out there, we're certainly happy to hear from him, but we want to talk to you primarily.
Well, yeah, thank you. That's what I told him, and I said I wanted to talk to Mr. Henry, you know, about the traffic, you know?
Well, I think I'll do that.
Oh, here. Take, you tell Henry.
All right, that's Jay Santos. Now, we're out here. All we're doing is monitoring level of traffic. If we do see automobiles that we consider to be not loaded down enough the car, in other words, we only see one person, then...
Would you please speak a little more clearly, Jay? I can't understand you.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm saying... Right, on a holiday like today, on Thanksgiving holiday night, Every lane of traffic should be a diamond lane. We really feel that it is a wasted car that only has one guy in it. So we are here simply addressing the situation. We just flag them down, or we can do a flare drop, your choice.
What does that mean, a flare drop or flag them down?
Well, in other words, what we'll do is we'll ride alongside of them, and we're waving a lit flare. And that's what we call, you can pull over for the flare drop. If you don't pull over for the flare drop, then we just follow, and try to think of something else. Generally, people will...
You follow and try to think of something else.
Well, Phil, what we have here is just a limited opportunity, limited whip. Okay, yeah, that's good, Billy. We're just revving up some of the bikes we have here. They got a couple of Harley Davidsons out here, Mr. Ernie. I don't know if that... Let me use the phone, and then you can have it back.
Yeah, it is my phone, though.
What
are you doing with the Harleys?
We're just doing a flare, what we're calling doing a flare down. So when a car drives by, we pull up alongside them. Get Gleason up here with the Harley. We have a couple of Harleys. I'm going to go over to where Gleason is right now. No, he just went by me. Hold on. Come here. He just went by me. I got to turn around and go back to him. Come here. Okay, Gleason, I want you to bring the bike. What happened? I'll get cut out.
All right, get the phone to Mr. Oliver, please.
God. Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil. Look, I don't have nothing to do with these guys. I just wanted to tell you about the traffic here tonight, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
I want everybody to know, if you're starting Thanksgiving tonight, if you're starting, I mean, your Thanksgiving drive tonight, you're going to be careful. What's up, man? If you're starting your Thanksgiving drive tonight, be careful. An analysis of insurance claims shows you could be in greater danger.
That works good.
Hey, Mr. Henry, do you know this guy, Jay Santos?
Yes, I do.
Well, he's acting like he's all Mr. Chips or something out here, you know. Right now, he just took it all the way down to the end of the... He's talking to some guys down there. He's got some guys in pith helmets and stuff, and I don't know what they're doing.
Are you on a freeway? Do I understand that you're out on a freeway?
Yeah, we are on the on-ramp of the freeway.
Well, they can't be out there on a freeway on-ramp doing what?
Like you said, he's flaring people down, man. If he sees cars that don't have enough people in them, he flares it down, so I don't have any idea. Okay. Yeah, okay, man, I will. That was Jay Santos again.
Next time he's there, I want to talk to him.
Okay, he took off again. He's going down to another checkpoint. If you're starting your Thanksgiving drive tonight, be careful. An analysis of insurance claims shows you could be in greater danger of having an accident. Even aside from the awful weather plaguing much of the nation, traffic accidents... Henry wants to talk to you, man.
I don't have time for him right now. Okay, we got another problem. I got to go down the other end. I got to go down to checkpoint 3. I'll be right... Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he's down at checkpoint 3.
You should tell him to quit screwing around out there. He's going to get arrested. He ought to be arrested.
That's what I think. Forget about it. He will get arrested. I hope he is arrested.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I came out here to do this. You know, I parked and I walked up the on-ramp so I could take a look at the traffic. And right now, I saw these guys out here. Hey, Henry wants to talk to you, man. Henry wants to talk to you.
I didn't call him out here.
Yeah, he's going down. He's checking. He says he's checking the different checkpoints he has.
What is he doing? All right, I'm going to call the Highway Patrol, and I'm going to have him busted. That's what I'm going to do. I think it'll be a fantastic thing, and I think we're going to have it on the air, and I think it'll make me laugh all weekend. So stand by for that.
Well, okay, Mr. Aaron, please don't make sure they don't arrest me or anything like that, you know? Okay, he just pulled up right now. Hey, Henry wants to talk to you, man. He's going to have you busted.
What?
He's going to have you busted.
I just gave my bike. All right, just gave the bike to Gleason. Gleason will go down. Yeah, Gleason's on checkpoint 3, checkpoint 4, okay? And then you guys take a coffee break or take a sandwich break, or there's some donuts over here too, okay? What's up, Phil?
What's up? I'm going to call the cops and have you arrested.
What for?
For screwing around out on a freeway and riding up and down and your checkpoints and your flare downs and everything else, man. I'm hearing you riding along the shoulder of a freeway on a Harley.
I'm out checking a checkpoint. What do you think I'm supposed to do? I sent Gleason down there. Gleason hasn't got enough brains, but he wouldn't know how to get a saucer of milk if he was a cat. Here he is now. Hey, Gleason, get off the bike. God, he just took off again. He's going down to checkpoint 3, and I'll be right back.
Now,
I don't care who's on the bike and who's checking what. Checkpoint 3, this is all a load. You guys are not real cops. I'm calling the police.
I'm just asking you, Phil, if you just, for just 5 seconds, just hold on, okay, until we complete our checkpoints and make sure all the clear-downs are done. Yeah, you guys are going to have to get off the bike. Get off the bike. Because Henry's going to call the cops if you don't. He's going to call the cops if you don't. I'm trying to tell him, but they all pulled up and down they went away.
What do you got? You got a bunch of guys going up and down the off-ramp there, or up and down the shoulder on bikes?
Well, how else are you going to do the checkpoint?
Yeah. Give the phone back to Dave, will you?
All right, here. Okay, I don't know anything about it, Mr. Henry.
No, you're fine, Dave. So go ahead.
Okay, so this is a very dangerous time of the holiday season is what I want people to know. Okay, man? I'm on the air right now. It's a very dangerous time.
You go down checkpoint 2 and check right on. Henry's a pain in the ass. You go have us arrested.
God, Mr. Henry, I don't know what's going on here.
You know what? Hold on, okay?
What?
Hold on so we can take a break and we can collect our thoughts. This guy Santos, I've had about enough of him.
Well, I think it's about time, Phil.
All right. I mean, you know, he was only a danger to himself up until this point. Now he's on his little Harley Davidsons, and he's going up and down to checkpoint 3. What is he doing?
As I understand it, he's seeing if all the automobiles on the freeway tonight are carrying their full capacity of passengers. Now, I'm not saying I endorse this, but Santos is saying that anything less than the full capacity in an automobile tonight is not making full use of that car, and Citizens Auxiliary Police, to the extent that they have this authority...
Do you want to get to it?
What did you say to me?
I said, would you get to it? Ow!
Don't you ever talk to me like that again.
You didn't even hit him. Why'd you tell people?
We wanted it...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We wanted it to sound like he got hit. What a... Sorry, bud.
I tried to make it sound real.
It did.
What are you guys doing? Are you telling me something? Are you performing some theater here? Here's the whole thing that's happening out there tonight. I understand that Santos wants everybody to have their cars filled with people so that every car is utilizing the maximum capacity and that every lane is essentially a diamond lane or a carpool lane, tonight being Thanksgiving. The problem is he doesn't have the authority to make that happen.
That's exactly the point.
And so, therefore, we are going to have him hauled in by the gendarmes, my man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, if you have your smartphone out and you're watching Phil TV in HD tonight, you're watching our video cast on your smartphone, and you let it go to, let's say you just put it down and you forget about it and you're off doing something else, you come back to it and your phone for whatever reason has gone into its lock mode, maybe that's the time that you've given it, a lot of times it will break the connection to the video cast, so you'll see you have to just reload the page is basically what happens. But my guys being a, very, because what happened was I really started putting a boot to some asses, and I shouldn't say that, but basically what I said was, look, guys, we got to make this very, very consumer friendly. We want the audience, we want the subscriber, we want people to be able to access what we offer them on our website as easily as possible. Now, there is a piece of marketing information, I guess, or marketing intelligence, or something along those lines that says, for every click, every time you force a subscriber or anyone visiting your website to punch a button, anytime you force them to click another link, you're losing about 10 to 20% of the people that have visited your site. So the more times they have to hit a link, the more people fall away from your page and your website, and they go someplace else. So I made the guys aware of this.
Now, is this something that you found out where?
Something, you know, that we talk about, it's general knowledge among people that have online businesses. Now, so the guys are very aware of that, and I appreciate that, and they're on top of it. So what they did was they wanted to make damn sure that everybody is on top of what's going on. So if you, for whatever reason, put the phone down or you lose the connection to the video cast, a screen comes up, a liner comes up that says, Phil TV is not on the air right now. Check back later. You know, yes, we are. We're on the air. You just have to reload the page. So if you see that,
why don't they get it together?
Yeah, they're fine. They're good guys. I've often said, and I'm firmly convinced of it. I'm really convinced of this. The world of the computer tech, the developer, the people that are really the geniuses behind developing and building websites, and they are very smart people, and they do a good job. But there's one area where they have there is just a big disconnect, and that is the area of how the average person experiences what it is they're building. They think that everybody out there is just like them. One of the problems is there's no real research. There's no real data yet. The online business, whether it is media or anything else, is so new that the data that has been compiled is kind of rough. You know, like in advertising, in radio and television, they've got decades worth of information and research and focus groups and statistics that tell them exactly how this demographic as opposed to that demographic, how everybody works.
Well, you're talking about the internet, and the internet is mostly boys that are trying to shut down the Defense Department.
What?
Well, isn't that... Who are the ones that they call the Trog or the Goblin?
No, I'm not called it's called a troll. Called trolls.
What a goblin.
What do you mean, what's a goblin? Isn't that the... Aren't these jackballs that are trying to shut everything down?
No, those are trolls. And it seems like that to you. It appears to you that the internet is ruled by those guys, and that the hive mind of the internet, somebody said once that the hive mind of the internet is like 15 years old and male. You know, in certain areas, yeah. Certain websites, yeah. But not the entire experience. And as more and more people become familiar with how to use the internet, that's going to become more dispersed. But all I'm trying to say here, it's a very simple thing. You know, it's one thing to be able to develop a website and do it well, and by God, we've got, you know, the best people working with us. But it's another thing entirely to know how the average schmuck who doesn't know a thing about internet, they don't know from Wi-Fi, man. Most people are like that. And I think a lot of people are intimidated because they see all this information. They'll look at, hey, have you got your Samsung? You go to the tech page of a lot of newspapers, they're flying way over the head of the average person. Way over the head of the average person. So all I'm saying is yes, I almost belched.
Thank you. I'm glad you're pointing that out, because when I belch, I get a world of crap for it.
Well, Margaret, you know, excuse me, but you're very overt.
I understand that, General, but I don't think that it needs to be pointed out as rudely as it is.
Well, you're very overt. You hear the burp, and it's heard all over Hell's Half Creation, and I don't think it's right.
Well, take it under advisement, General. This is not a moral judgment.
Well, it may not be. I was in the army. I've been in the armpit of hell in combat, and I've never seen men under the pressure that they've been under with machine gun bullets, RPGs, incoming ordnance. I've never seen men behave as crudely as you do on the average show here.
Oh, you got it.
Are you serious?
No, but...
You're full of...
All right, in any event, as we like to say. So, yes, so when you go to our website, philandryshow.com, and you get your backstage pass and you're watching our video cast, for instance, the video cast itself is we're here, you know. And so you just got to reload the page, things like that. That's the other thing about our Phil Henry Radio. We're very, very grateful to have you guys. If you look at our homepage, it says one thing we are grateful for and we are thankful for are all of you, and we really are, and we appreciate you being there. It's been another great year for us, and we're anticipating another good 12-month run, and we're thankful that we've got you all there. It's a goofy business. It's getting goofier, but hey, we love it. All right.
About that comet now, man.
Well, the comet thing, we were going to talk about that comet, that ISON, arrives at perilous encounter. They got some photographs online that are pretty interesting. Comet ISON's day of reckoning has arrived at last. On Thanksgiving, the icy comet is due to whip around the sun at more than 200 miles per second, the harrowing culmination of a journey that began about 5.5 million years ago in the farthest reaches of the solar system. ISON will experience temperatures of 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit as the sun's powerful gravity threatens to tear it apart. Many thousands of Earthlings have been tracking the comet's journey for more than a year since it was spotted by Russian astronomers in the neighborhood of Saturn's orbit. So have nearly two dozen spacecraft, including NASA's Hubble and Spitzer telescopes. If you go online, you'll see some pretty incredible photographs that have been taken. And I don't know what kind of photographs these are. They're very unusual. They're mapping-style photographs, and they may be not so much photographs as imaging that is then given a face. You know what I mean? It's like a radio signal of some kind that then is translated into a visual, and you can see the Earth, you can see Mercury, you see the path of the comet, and then you see this big blob that, as Bud said, looked like one of those candies that get crushed in Candy Crush or whatever the hell that is.
What about that Jell-O squirt? Is that
I don't know.
All right, well, excuse me. I got someone said on Facebook, you're invited to play Jelly Squirt. If that's crude.
No, it's not. I don't know. In any event, that's the sun, Bud, the thing that you saw. All right, so there. We're up to speed on all of that jazz. Very, very happy to be able to give you that information. Coming back on the other side here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, some more Thanksgiving traffic news. Maybe we'll try and give it a little bit clearer interpretation. We also have a Thanksgiving recipe, I thought, that Ted Bell was going to give us, or somebody, on stuffing turkeys. Ted can't do it because he's traumatized by that.
Yeah, Ted Bell gets sick every time you talk about stuffing turkey with a hand up the turkey.
Yeah. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And the reason why we give you our website is that's our online headquarters. Go over there, get a backstage pass, and watch, listen, hear the history of the show, the future of the show, the present of the show, the ins, the outs, the upsides, and the downs, and all of that. There's no better way to see the mindset of this show than to actually watch it. We have a two-tier subscription program now. You can get our all-access pass. You can get audio only. And audio only is fantastic. But when you watch the show, you can really see me going through some changes, man, during these breaks.
You're going to have a heart attack.
Why do you say that?
Well, Phil, let me...
Go ahead, General.
You look like the world's most under-pressure man that I've ever seen. I've been in combat.
All right, General...
No, hold on for a minute. I've been in combat... I've been pinned down on bridges. I've had shells landing around me. I have been wetting my pants, trying to bury myself in asphalt, praying for my mother to come and rescue me. But I've never, I don't think, looked like I've been under as much pressure as you do when you do this radio show. And if you don't find some relief, you are going to have a heart attack or a stroke, as God is my witness.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that's great. What about you, Robert?
Yeah, it doesn't look like me.
Well, if I have a heart attack or a stroke, it'll be on camera, so that's good, huh?
Don't kid about those kinds of things, Phil.
But what else do you want me to do? You know, I mean,
I'm just telling you, young man, I've been in situations where I would have rather, be sitting playing poker with the devil, sitting on hot charcoal briquettes playing poker with the devil, and drinking napalm, then be you.
Well, thank you.
I don't mean that personally. I'm saying the way you deal with pressure...
You don't deal with the pressure very well, and you're always upset about something. You're always upset about someone in your life.
Well, unfortunately, I've had people... Well, I don't want to get into it, you know.
No, go ahead and get into it. I think he's bitching.
Yeah, you love to see a man twist in the breeze, don't you, Dickman?
Huh? What's that mean, twist in the breeze?
It's an old expression. It's an old expression. It means hanging in the balance. It means not having anywhere to, no one to lean on, nowhere to go. You're about ready to just drop off the edge of the cliff. That's what twisting in the breeze means to me, anyway. No, I mean, it is what are you talking about, man? Giving people all these bad ideas. I happen to like what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you like what you do for a living, man. You'd rather be like caked out, though, right? Yeah, that's it, Mr. Henry. Wouldn't you rather be caked out?
What do you mean, wouldn't I rather be caked out?
He means, wouldn't...
I know what he means. Wouldn't I rather have enough money just be sitting on my ass?
Yeah.
Who says I don't?
Well, then why don't you sit on your ass?
Because I like doing what I'm doing, you know? I like doing what I'm doing. One of the reasons why I do what I do is because I feel I owe it, well...
Yeah, you feel you owe it to who? What, business partners or something?
Let me put it to you this way. I do what I do because I like it. Now, the business end of these things, which is now something that I'm very, very familiar with, you know, this new economy, folks, as you all know, everybody's an entrepreneur. Everyone's starting a business. Everyone's employing people now. It isn't like the old days, you know, where they're, well, I'm going to go work for a company. Nine times out of ten, the company is you, you know. That's what's happening in the American economy today. That's what's happening today. There are more and more startup businesses probably now. And the state that I live in, the state of California, until recently, it may still be true, leads the nation in startup businesses. Now, that's great. You know, it's great working for yourself. But the headaches, that's what you guys are seeing, see? You think that's something that I don't like. I like it, but there's a lot of headaches, you know? There's a lot of stuff you got to think of. You know, it's like back when you were just working for somebody else, if there was something wrong, you'd say, hey, Joe, there's something wrong. Can you fix it and I'll see you Monday? I'm going to go out and get drunk and dance with my girlfriend and do what I do as a, you know, party person. Yeah, okay. Now there's something wrong, so when I get off the air, I better go fix it or find out what's wrong with it, and you're working all the time. That's just the way it is.
Well, they say that, like, the restaurant business is a 24/7 job.
Well, now that's something I know something about because my father owned a restaurant when I was growing up in Canandaigua.
You said your father had a dairy farm.
What's that?
You said your father had a dairy farm.
Yeah, he did. He said my father had a dairy farm up in Canandaigua, New York.
Yes, that's right. He had a dairy farm, and then he decided, well, if you have a dairy farm, what do you think you're going to do?
I don't know. What are you
going to
do?
You're going to open up a restaurant, so you've got, you know, somewhere to sell the milk and the cheeses.
Okay, so he had a dairy farm and a restaurant.
Yes, and I know he was working at that restaurant 24 hours a day.
Well, who ran the dairy farm?
Well, that's the point. You see, the dairy and the milk got sour. I don't know. Maybe my mother. But my mother was taking care of me, and I was a 24-hour-a-day job. I know that.
Well, your mother must have been running the dairy, General, if your father was at the restaurant.
No, it's impossible because my mother took care of me, and I demanded all of her time. I was a very precocious child. I was also very intelligent, and the things I did and the things I wanted to see, the places I wanted to go, the games I wanted to play, the clothes I wanted to buy, all consumed every moment of her time.
God, what a spoiled brat you must have been.
I beg your pardon?
What a spoiled brat you must have been. All that time she had to devote to it.
Don't she buy all the clothes and everything for you?
No, wait. You're a spoiled brat if you don't deserve the attention. But if you do deserve the attention, because the adults see in you the possibility of a progeny, you see.
What's that? What is it?
A progeny? A progeny? Would you get me some water, please?
Yes, sir.
A progeny. So you were like a child.
Yes, I was an infant terrible, or however you say that.
No. It's called enfant terrible. Enfant terrible. That means a rowdy, crazy kid. You were a wild, crazy.
I don't think that's what that means.
Well, thank you, Mr. French.
Margaret, you don't speak as you. I speak more French than you speak. Okay, just because you know how to do the accent.
It's called enfant terrible. Isn't it? Well, is it?
No, I always thought it was terrible infant.
Terrible infant. So what does that mean?
That means the kid's a turd.
There you go, Margaret. It means the kid's a turd.
What a jackass. You guys have got, about as much education as Mo Howard.
Mo Howard? How do you know? Maybe Mo Howard went to Dartmouth or something.
I don't know.
By the way, all right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. I got a very sad story to tell because you reminded me of it, the Mo Howard line. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Oh, we're breaking a little bit early here, Nikki, but you know how it is, you know. We'll be right back. When your mother...
Hey, Steve!
What do you mean, What is this? This is The Cheater by Bob Cuban.
Bob what?
Bob Cuban.
Let me look at that. Bob Cuban and the Hitman.
I remember Bob Cuban. It's not Bob Cuban. It's Bob Cuban.
It seems every day now.
This was the guy that he did the play-by-play of the baseball. No, that's Tony Kubek. Well, what is with all these Cuban...
That's Bob Cuban?
No, man. Bob Cuban was the name of this group.
He's gonna build you up just to let you down.
Now, listen to the lead singer. I want to direct your attention to the guy that's singing.
All of you girls had better stay inside your door.
All right. This guy, his name was Walter... God, I hope I got the poor man's name right. Walter Lang. That man, Walter Lang, was at the center of one of the biggest... Well, I wouldn't say one of the biggest, but it was certainly a very, very intriguing murder mystery that went on for years, for about 5, 6, 7 years, until they finally found out what happened. That guy singing there, this man, Mr. Lang, went missing one night. His wife said to the cops, I don't know where he is. He went out. He didn't go out with a jacket on. It was raining. It was windy. We had an argument. You know, yeah, it was bad. And he said, to hell with you, and he walked out, and I haven't seen him since, officer. And the cops are like, wow, that's pretty sad, you know. Wonder where he went. They can't find him. In the meantime, there's a guy across town whose wife dies in an automobile accident. And I think actually the wife died before this poor man, Mr. Lang... I really owe it to the guy to get the name right. Why do I not do this?
Darn, you could have had me look it up, and I would have looked up Bob Cuban.
Yeah, that's fine, but don't fall in love with the name Bob Cuban. I'm looking for the name of the guy that was the lead singer. Anyway, across town is a guy, and his wife dies in an automobile accident. Very tragic. It was terrible, and he's very sad, and his son was sad, and, you know, it's just a sad thing. Well, the cops are... not putting these two together until they find out something, because they're looking for this man, Mr. Lang, and they want to find out what happened to him. Now, see, I got the wrong guy, Walter Lang. I'm going to find out the name of the singer in the Bob Cuban, because Walter Lang was a film director. Walter Lance was the guy that invented Woody Woodpecker, bud.
No, that's the guy that got...
Walter what? Scott? Walter Scott. Thank you very much, Nikki.
No, it's Walter Lance.
That's the guy that invented Woody Woodpecker.
Ain't that the same guy singing?
No, it ain't the same guy singing.
Well, he could have invented Woody... All right.
Yeah, that's it. He invented Woody Woodpecker and then said, you know what I really want to do is sing R&B. Well, I don't see what's so funny about that. Oh, come on. Walter Lance was the guy that did Woody Woodpecker. Okay?
What do you mean he did Woody Woodpecker? Phil, you've got to be careful with the way you say... I don't mean to be funny. Shut your hole.
Are you trying to be funny? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
No, I'm not. When you say Walter Lance did Woody Woodpecker, you've got a lot of filthy minds out there.
Yeah, okay, folks. I don't mean that Walter Lance had sex with Woody Woodpecker, which is a fictitious creature. I'm saying that Walter Lance was a guy that did this whole thing with Woody Woodpecker.
Well, that sounds worse.
He created him.
Didn't his wife do the voice?
Yes, Walter Lance's wife did do the voice. Yeah.
Well, that's even weirder.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
So you're talking about that Woody Woodpecker that went...
No. I know the Woody Woodpecker voice because I think I knew... I didn't know Walter Lance, but I think I knew his wife. Was her name Elizabeth? What do you mean you think you knew his wife?
I was in a... I'll tell you why I think I know Walter Lance's wife. Was she the one that did... You know, I can't do the voice.
Yeah, that's the woodpecker.
Yeah, Walter Lance's wife was the original laughing voice of Woody Woodpecker.
Well, okay, because I was at the smokehouse in Burbank one night, and yes, I'd had a few, and there was a gal at the bar, and she was putting back a few of these, you know, bourbon and water and so forth and so on. I got to talking with her, me and a couple of guys, and she started, you know, and I don't want to say anything bad, but she, you know, later on in the night when things got interesting, and she started going, like that.
What are you talking about?
When she, do you want me to be graphic?
What? Oh, will you come on, man?
Well, I don't know, and I found out, that's why.
You realize you're talking about a guy's wife?
Well, I apologize, but I'm just saying, it probably wasn't her. But this gal, would go, when...
You know, General, I'm very surprised at you.
All right, forget it. God, what a pain in the ass.
Well, General, if you're going to bring up something like that...
Yeah, I know. If I better bring up something like that...
Are you saying, like, when the lady...
Never mind, bud.
I'm telling you that later... And I'll tell you, it was the Super 8...
No, we don't have to know the motel.
She's got... I'm telling you, man. Can I get back to the story about Walter Scott, okay? Thank you, Nikki, for the name. Walter Lang, Walter Lance.
Walter Scott was the singer in this group.
Now, hold on for a minute. He's not going to go, or anything like that.
No. That's a terrible thing to say.
I'm saying it probably wasn't her, all right? I should have said this. I knew a girl once who went, when she reached a certain point in the evening. How's that? Do you feel better about that?
Not really, no. Coming from you, no, I don't. Any story like that coming from you sickens me.
Well, you really, boy, I'll tell you, you got the chutzpah you got, kid.
Well, I'm the chutzpah you got. Walter Scott was the lead singer with that group, the Kuban, whatever the hell, Bob Kuban, the Hitmen. So anyway, he goes missing. The wife says, geez, I don't know where he went. You know, he was just here. He went out for, you know, a cup of sugar, whatever the hell she said. And he's gone. Prior to that, there's a guy across town whose wife winds up getting killed in a terrible automobile mishap. I'm not even sure it was an accident. I think she went off the road, something like that. Well, cops being cops, you know, it always amazes me, people thinking they're going to get away with certain things, because cops always dig and they always put stuff together. And the first people they always look at when anybody dies are the spouses.
Yes, the people that are closest to them.
Right.
Why?
Because those are the ones most likely to want to kill somebody. If you're dead or you get murdered, the person most likely to want to kill you is probably somebody you know. So they start with the people closest, husband, wife, family members, doesn't matter who. And it always blows me away, these people who think they're going to get away with it. It's the first people they look at. So they're looking at the spouses, and they find out that Walter Scott's wife, the one that said, oh, gosh, I don't know what happened to him, and this guy whose wife got in the automobile accident.
Oh, they were having an affair.
They were having an affair. And they knew each other, and they were consoling each other, and oh my God, it's just terrible. What happened to them? And the cops, I mean, these people weren't even very good at hiding it because the cops put them under surveillance, and this guy, when her husband went missing, when Walter Scott went missing, he spent the night there, you know.
Yeah, he probably would do that for somebody who you were cared about.
What? What did you say, man?
I said, if you cared about somebody.
Well, if you cared about somebody, maybe you're going to stay there. I mean, you're going to spend the night. But in any event, so that's what happened. And they start digging into it. Well, look at this. These two are having an affair and this and that and this and that. They start digging into it. But they can never quite find out what happened. And this goes on for years because they don't have a body, you know, corpus delicti, you know.
That mean delicious corpse?
No, it doesn't mean delicious.
No, it's like corpus delicti is a cop term for you got to have the body, I think.
I thought that was habeas corpus.
No, that's produce the body.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up. So the cops are like, what the hell happened? Now they get a tip, finally get a tip from somebody that's, guess what, pissed off, or someone feels like they've been cut out of the loop, or somebody who is just... you know, there's always going to be one person that just feels like they got screwed over somehow in some deal. And I forget who it was, but the cops are directed by this tipster to look at was a cement pad that was poured in the backyard. And on top of it is a pot. And when the cops looked at the cement pad, they go, that's kind of interesting. That cement pad is out of place. I mean, why would anybody pour a cement pad right in the middle of the lawn here just to put a pot on it, you know, just to put a potted plant on it? So they take the cement pad off, and what do they find? They find a well. And in the well, not more than 2 feet down, is the body of this poor man, Walter Scott.
He was in the well.
What? What's he doing down there?
Probably tripped and fell in.
No, he didn't trip and fall in. He got shot and put in there. He got shot and thrown down that well. And they found his wallet, everything on him. They found his ID. His hands had been tied behind him, and there was a bullet hole in his back, and there was one in his head. And this was like years later, man. It took him 5 years to finally find this guy. And when they did, and the guy's in the well of his own, I think he's in his own backyard, and his wife is still living in the house. She gets arrested. The whole story comes out. How about that?
That's the guy that Bob Kuban.
Bob Cuban. If you say Cuban one more time, man, there's going to be a fight. Okay?
Well, what you're saying.
I said it about 95 times.
But that wasn't Walter Lantz.
No, that was Walter Scott, and a good singer, I thought. You know, obviously he was past the years where he had a big hit record. But that band was unusual in that it was a time when the rock and roll started coming out of England, and it was very, very, very different from that kind of big band rock and roll or R&B that those guys were doing. But they had a hit. They were out of St. Louis, and I think they continued for a few years trying to do regional stuff. But this poor guy's life, the way it ended, man, weird, huh?
Yeah, that is pretty weird. But
all right, so we'll be back with. So we got to have this thing about the stuffing. Is that it?
Well, there's a mom's turkey stuffing, which I know every year we do the recipe. Ted is sickened by the idea. Ted loves stuffing, but apparently he's got a phobia about stuffing turkeys because it reminds him of a
doctor's visit.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it reminds him of a. Yes, all right. It reminds him of a visit to the doctor.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know who's going to do this.
Well, we'll try and get Ted to do it, but he said he loves it. It sickens him, the idea of stuffing a turkey.
Boy, I've heard of some phobias, man, but that's a new one on me. All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Now, our backstage pass affords you an opportunity to have access to the entire website, 5,000 hours of audio, as well as our video cast and our video cast archive. Or you can get our audio-only backstage pass. But whatever you do, hit us up there at philhenryshow.com. We also now have the new gift subscriptions for you. So if you would like to get a gift subscription for the one you love, the one you don't love, the one you barely know, the one that you do know but would rather you didn't know, whoever it is, whatever it is, and why ever it is, be sure to go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass so that you can, you know, allow them to enjoy the very thing that you yourself have been enjoying. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Coming up on Thursday, it's going to be the Game of the Week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman. Thursday's Game of the Week on Thanksgiving. That's tomorrow. The Raiders and Cowboys, right, Bud?
Yeah, 1:30 start.
1:30 in the afternoon. And we'll also have later on in the show Joe Dickhead and the Professor's NFL picks for the weekend because some ball games coming up. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the program. With me is Ted Bell. I've promised him that we will be as delicate as we can. You said you were going to read these stuffing recipes.
Well, no. I thought I was going to read a recipe for preparing turkey, and then Marcy put this in my hand, and I realized it was for stuffing, and you got to understand, this is very difficult for me to do, okay? Now, this is my mother's turkey recipe, or my grandmother, excuse me. This is my grandmother's turkey stuffing. What is this, honey? This is the turkey stuffing.
Are you at the restaurant?
Yeah, but my wife's here. This is my grandmother's I'm sorry.
Okay, we've got a problem here.
Hold on, let me just pull it together.
So you got a problem reading the stuffing?
Ah, God! Don't say that word. If you don't say that word, I don't get the visual of a hand going. You know.
You don't want to see the hand.
No, I don't. Thank you, Dickman. I don't want to see the hand.
What do you mean you don't want to see the hand?
You want me to explain it to you? I guess the visual of someone jamming that stuff into a turkey is like, oh, God.
All right.
I have to ask, Ted, did you have a bad experience at a proctologist?
You know what? If I did, I certainly am not going to discuss it on the air, Margaret.
I'm sorry. I understand.
All right. You know, I don't mean to jump on you, but I certainly wouldn't if I had a bad experience at a proctologist. But the answer is yes.
Oh, so, Ted, this is General Shaw. So you did have...
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. And I don't want to go any further into it than that. But the idea of stuffing a turkey...
Well, and let me just add, did Moore... See, I know what that exam is supposed to be. And it sounds to me like someone...
Don't say it, please.
All right, well, let me just... Did he apply axle grease all the way to the elbow, or...
Oh!
Come on, General, will you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the problem is.
Oh! Wow!
Well, I think that's the answer.
No, I'm not going to go any further with what the answer is. All I'm asking, I'll go ahead and I'll give you the ingredients. Please just no one say the word stuffing.
You just did.
I know. All right, here it is. One loaf of day-old French bread. You cut it into 3/4-inch cubes, about 10 to 12 cups.
That is the stuffing, right?
Would you shut up, bud?
Dickman, what did I just get done telling you?
Sorry.
Ted, now hold on for a minute. This is General Shaw.
Look, General, I got to get through this.
Now, wait just a minute. This is General Shaw. I want to tell you something. Why not face your fear and get through this the best way you can and defeat your fear of that word?
Oh, come on, will you?
No, I'm not kidding. I don't think you should run and hide from that word. I think you should face it down, and I think you should allow us to use that word and just grin and bear it, as they say.
Tough it out, huh?
Yes, tough it out.
I don't know, General. I did...
Let's just do it. Let's just try it, okay? I want you to tough it out. Now, I'll go ahead every now and again and drop in the word that you don't want to hear while you read this recipe. All right?
Yeah, but, General, you don't understand. I mean, when you said Axel Grace...
No, just never mind. Phil doesn't want us to talk about that. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
So he's going to tough it out. How is he going to do that?
I just want him to imagine himself on the front line. You're there... And you're in the foxhole, and you're in a foxhole, and we've strung the wire, and you've got to protect the perimeter from your foxhole, just like in that movie Platoon. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I think I did.
All right. And remember when the guy came running back, he said, they're not stopping for crap. Well, I want you to be in that foxhole and keep them out. Do you understand?
I understand, okay.
All right, go ahead.
Let me get my glasses on here. All right, so this is my mom's recipe...
For stuffing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tough it out now. Come on, tough it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One loaf of day-old French bread cut into 3/4-inch cubes, about 10 to 12 cups. 1 cup of walnuts.
Oh, I see. For the stuffing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Shut up, bud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dickman, I want you to be quiet.
2 cups each, chopped onion and celery, 6 tablespoons of butter, 1 green apple, peeled, cored, and chopped.
I bet you this makes good stuffing.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
What is the point of this?
Just, I know what I'm doing. Are you with me, Ted?
Yes, sir. Several, that would be 5 to 10 chopped green olives, martini olives, the ones with the pimento.
I love that in my stuffing.
What, you talking duck?
Be quiet, I told you, Dickman, shut up. You're doing good, Ted. Stay with me, son.
Yes, sir. Stock from the turkey giblets, 1 cup to 2 cups. You can substitute chicken stock. 1/4 cup chopped fresh parsley. 1 teaspoon of poultry seasoning or ground sage to taste.
Mm-mm. Good tasting stuffing, huh?
What the hell?
This is a very typical reaction.
Oh, man. I got one more ingredient.
For the stuffing.
Butter! Yes.
Go ahead.
Salt and freshly ground pepper to taste.
I don't like that in my stuffing.
Hey, I'm okay now. I think I made it, Jim.
I think I made it.
Well, that's good. You see, that's all it takes is a little mind over matter. And as I've often said, Phil, mind over matter can cure an awful lot of problems. There he was. There was Ted Bell. And he was thinking that he couldn't get through it. And all he had to do was just... What happened? I think I just heard a gunshot. Let me hear that more clearly. Yeah, there it is.
I'm only kidding.
Get out of here, will you? He can't say the word stuffing.
Well, that sounds ridiculous to me. Is he actually...
I don't know. It did sound like he fired off not a gun, but a gun sound effect. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. All right, Ted, way to do it, man. And I don't know if anybody actually wrote that recipe down. I was listening as carefully as I could, and it sounded pretty damn good.
I almost started to write it down, but when Ted began vomiting and dry heaving, it was...
Yeah, I lost my appetite, too.
That's his grandmother's recipe. I don't know what's different. Oh, you got to use a Dutch oven. Is Ted Dutch?
He looks it.
He looks it. All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the last of that. We also did a little bit of a traffic report for you earlier. Now, the weather thing is goofy, and by goofy, I don't mean goofy as in ha-ha. I mean that, you know, the weather around the country has been nasty as hell. And as we mentioned to you last night, there was the possibility that upwards of 100 million people, 100 million people would be affected. Now, as of the headline this evening, weather walloping the East Coast as roughly 43 million are traveling for Thanksgiving. Now, I wonder if that's because the news has finally gotten out to the public at large. It's going to be a rough travel holiday, and it's better that you stay home.
Well, I think that's the smart thing to do. And also, I think you made the point yesterday. I agree. Stay home for that ridiculous Black Friday.
You nuts or something? Black Friday's the best.
Black Friday is a big, fat con. It's everybody piles into the store for garbage. That's all it is. I think Black Friday is jazz, man. I wouldn't stand 5 minutes. But anyway, a wall of storms packing ice, sleet, and rain could upend holiday travel plans as millions of Americans take to the roads, skies, and rails Wednesday for Thanksgiving. So far, the deadly storms barreling into the mid-Atlantic and Northeast have not resulted in many flight delays or cancellations. How about that? But forecasters were expecting the weather to worsen throughout the day. The timing of the storm couldn't be worse, said Chris Vaccaro, spokesman for the National Weather Service headquarters in Silver Spring, Maryland. We're seeing numerous threats as the storm is beginning to develop and intensify. Many travelers marveled at how orderly and anxiety-free the airports were during what is typically one of the busiest days of the year. Probably a lot of people are staying home, too. You know, because people, they get the word and they begin to get the reality of the situation. And people say, I ain't even going to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm staying home. And that is that. All right, guys. We're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. 855-500-7445. And online at philhendryshow.com, of course, with our live video cast. This here Halloween, I mean Thanksgiving, Halloween. Must be your face, bud.
You're the one wearing a mask.
Yeah. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our chilled-out, Thanksgiving weekend with all this groovy music that Bud's picking for us.
Bud, I don't know what can you want.
Just something that's going to rock a little bit. You know, I don't need to be laying down after the meal just yet. Loosening the belt, you know.
Well.
Anyway, welcome back here on our Thanksgiving night show. Not that it's, you know, anything of great note, because we realize a lot of you guys are out, you know, traveling in your cars, or perhaps you're walking. I'm joking, of course.
Well, I wonder how many people are not flying as opposed to...
Yeah, a lot of people like driving a car.
The easiest thing I would think to do would, not easiest, but the more preferable of the two, the more preferable of the three options would be to be on a train, don't you think?
I think everything is jam-packed.
But I think the train is less likely to be affected by the weather. How is train travel going to be affected by the weather?
What about the rails freeze?
The rails freeze? I've never heard of anything like that.
No, the rails are not going to freeze. You might get an accumulation of snow and ice,
which quite possibly could affect the rails in terms of their ability to guide the train. But it wouldn't be a dangerous situation, and the engineers are certainly well-versed in that kind of weather eventuality. I would think, Phil, you're right, that the...
You feel like laying down?
No, I'm hungry, though.
Go get some more, something else to eat. Like, what do you got there?
Get some White Castle.
Yeah, go get him some White Castle. Well, speaking of White Castle, didn't I see... Never mind.
That was disgusting. The different things people stuff turkeys with. I don't know how big someone...
You don't know how big what?
How big someone's ass is supposed to get.
A lot of people want a big ass, I'll tell you that.
Well, if you're stuffing your turkey with White Castle hamburgers, you've thrown caution to the wind, man, you know. I think anybody under the age of 30, probably under the age of 40, stuffing a turkey with White Castle hamburgers, fantastic. Great idea. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Over the age of 40, especially if you're a guy in heart attack country and you're doing that, I don't know, you know.
You ever do a rib eating contest?
I did a rib eating contest once. Yeah, it was in my 20s. A rib eating contest, I think that's different. I mean, that's just ribs, you know. We're not talking about deep fried whatever. You're talking about ribs. A rib eating contest is you're stuffing a lot of food in your face, but it's not. I don't think it's anything that's like life threatening or health threatening. I did it for a charity, and I was part of a radio station I worked for, and we had a table of six guys, and it was at Tony Roma's, the rib restaurant. So they piled a big stack of ribs in front of us, and we went to it. And there were a lot of damn ribs, but I'll tell you, we polished them off, and we did it pretty fast. It was basically the fastest guys to finish this big stack of ribs that they stuck in front of your face would be the winners. And I thought we were doing pretty good, but there was a table full of...
Were they a bunch of fat guys?
No, they were not a bunch of fat guys. They were normal-sized guys. I didn't see a table full of, quote, fat guys at all. I just saw a bunch of guys in varying ages, you know, and I guess maybe some of them bigger than others, but there weren't any big tubs of guts sitting there. But I thought we did pretty good, you know. We're just polishing off these ribs left and right. I mean, how fast can you eat a rib? And the next thing, I'm looking over at these other dudes, man, they kicked our ass.
Well, what are they doing? Are they inhaling it or something?
They must have some technique. It's like I was the judge for the most painful... eating exhibition I ever saw was a hot chili pepper contest that I was the judge for in Miami. And it was like a restaurant that was a sponsor of ours, and they had a jalapeno chili pepper eating contest. So I go to this thing, and there were four guys, and in front of them were these bowls of chili peppers. Now, this is not a situation where you need to refill the bowls because they're on some kind of a clock. It is essentially the following test. How many of those can you eat, you know?
How many did they have there?
I don't know. Maybe they had 50 or 60 chili peppers in front of these guys. And I don't know how long the contest was supposed to go, but I think it was whoever ate the most, you know, and whoever was... And they judged how many you ate by the stems. You know, jalapeno peppers have those stems on them. So anyway, boom, there's the start of the contest, and these guys are chucking these things down. I'm like, I can't. There's no way in hell.
You know, the chili, and the other one is the hot pepper that they use down in Vietnam. Well, it'll burn your eyeballs out. And I think, I don't know.
Well, this was not that. This was just jalapeno peppers. Anyway, the guy that won finished the whole bowl, okay? And he finished the whole bowl of peppers, and he was sitting there, and he looked no worse for the wear. And I don't think any of the guys were. I think to be able to eat those things, you have to have a certain kind of chemistry. You physically, you have to be able to do it. I think there's some of us that can take that kind of food and some can't. I like spicy food, but I cannot eat one hot pepper after the next. The last time I did that, well...
I know this story. The last time you did that, you were drunk.
We'd been drinking pitchers of beer, yeah. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, next day, it's like you're napalm.
Yes, it's like napalm. So anyway, the guy who finally won, I said to him, I said, geez, you know, how'd you do? He says, this is nothing. He said, the guy was from Jamaica. and he ate those Scotch bonnets. Now, that's a round pepper, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a Scotch bonnet is the same as a habanero, which is a super hot pepper. And this guy said, the jalapeno is nothing, man. Where I come from, we eat those Scotch bonnet peppers, and they're just, you know, it's like popping a cherry bomb in your mouth, you know, and it's exploding all the time. So that, I couldn't believe it, you know, and I still can't believe it. And the hottest food, I guarantee you've never had food hotter in your life than Sri Lankan food. And there was that restaurant in Minneapolis.
Yes, I know they closed it down. I tried to find them. It's closed down. And I think because of what you said about that restaurant, I'm glad they closed it down. They probably killed a few people with the kind of spicy food you're talking about.
Well, it was pretty spicy. It didn't kill anybody, but it was pretty damn spicy, yeah. And it's made in Sri Lanka. All right.
What's that?
Sri Lanka is an island nation that is south of India. It's in the ocean below India. It's an island.
What?
Bud, if you got to be able to look at a map, okay?
Yeah, it's India?
It's below India. It's the island underneath India.
So it's not India?
No, it ain't India, man. It's Sri Lanka. It's different from India. Okay?
I'm looking right now, and I see India. Okay, I'll have it in a minute.
Yeah, well, you do that, man. You look for it.
Now, hey, India is where?
Are you guys kidding me or something?
No, that is right there.
No, that's Catalina. Are you kidding? You got to be kidding.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's California. I'm sorry.
Did he point to Catalina?
What do you think you're looking at, Robert?
No, man. I knew that California. I thought that was India.
That ain't India. That's California.
Well, where's India?
Well, isn't that an interesting question? You got to be able to find India before you can find Sri Lanka, okay?
Well, how are you supposed to find India?
Well, I don't know. You got to be able to read a map. You got to know something about the world. You got to be able to look at a globe and kind of know beforehand where things are. You should have known by now, bud. At the age of 20, you ought to know by now where roughly India is.
That's Denmark.
Denmark? Are you kidding me or something?
Man, I know it ain't California.
Well, then why were you guys looking at Catalina telling me that's Sri Lanka?
Ain't it spelled that way?
No, S-R-I. Sri Lanka. How long is it going to take you, jackasses? It's right there.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the one that says Sri Lanka on it.
Is that India there?
That's India there. Wow.
Woo!
So anyway, that's the country of Sri Lanka, and that's where they have all that really hot food, and that's where, you know, that's where that happens, man. All that. Loving these guys or what, man? Okay. Coming back, man, we're going to get off of Thanksgiving. We're going to get on to sports. We got Joe Dickhead and the Professor with their picks, their National Football League picks for this coming weekend. Now, I've got to find out. I don't know what the criteria is this week, but it's going to be different from last week, which was simply a coin flip. They got a whole different criteria having to do with the names of the teams. So we're going to find out in moments here with Joe Dickhead and the Professor, the NFL picks. And then tomorrow, of course, it's going to be Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman with the Game of the Week. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show, world famous here, 855-500-7445. Welcome back here, our final hour here on this, what is this, like Thanksgiving Eve? Yeah, okay. Thanksgiving Eve.
Man, I've got to figure out what it is.
What?
Why does everybody got to figure out what it is?
What do you mean, what it is?
Why does everybody got to do that?
Why does everyone have to figure out what?
What are you saying?
Why does everybody got to figure out what it is?
What is, figure out what, bud? Speak English.
Why, everybody got to call it Eve?
Because it is, man.
Yeah, it is. It's Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah, but just say it's the night before Thanksgiving.
Well, they don't do it that way. They say it's Thanksgiving Eve.
Actually, I've never heard them call it Thanksgiving Eve, so.
You know, that's a good point, Dickman. It isn't called Thanksgiving Eve, so why do we have to call it anything?
The day before Thanksgiving's fine with me.
It ain't the day before, though.
Well, you're the guy that didn't want to call it Eve, so... The night before Thanksgiving, okay?
Yeah, that's taken by Christmas.
What are you talking about, man?
The night before Thanksgiving? This is the night before Christmas.
Oh, will you come on, you clown. Night before Christmas. You mean the poem?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Christmas is going to have to share it with Thanksgiving. Whatever. But it is the night before, Thanksgiving. At least it ain't Halloween, which is what I called it a few minutes ago, looking at your kisser.
Yeah, looking at your face, that thought it was Valentine's Day.
What's that supposed to mean?
Look like Cupid.
I look like Cupid. Thank you, bud. I'll take that. I look like Cupid.
Got a baby face.
Yeah, I do have a baby face.
So far, bud, you're not doing too good.
Yeah, quit while you're ahead, man.
Your face...
Never mind what his face looks like, okay?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been on some radio programs. Actually, no, this is the first one. I was going to say this is the stupidest show I've ever been on, but I've only been on one.
Well, it's still the stupidest one you've ever been on.
Well, that's true, yes.
Okay, great. So we're getting all kinds of compliments here, and we're just doing great. Football is ahead this weekend. Now, Joe Dickhead and the Professor are 21-19, I believe. They went 5-8 last weekend, 13 games that they picked, 5 wins, 8 losses, so that's 21-19. I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. I don't think that's too good. In fact, that's just barely breaking 500. That sucks. Huge. So let's see what they have in store this weekend as we go to Joe Dickhead and the Professor in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Strip. Bud, you got to get some better music than that.
This is NFL music.
This is a song that they play when the team loses and the guy is injured and they're dragging his ass into the locker room and there's an ambulance on the field and you get out of here.
This is sad, bud.
This is NFL music.
Here, this is good. Yeah, here you go. This is a kind of a,
what's this?
This is, just find out if those guys are ready.
You guys ready yet? No, they're not. They're getting dressed.
What do you mean they're getting dressed? I'm going to kick your ass. Hey, Joe, it's Phil. You guys ready? What? You're just putting your pants on. Just never mind, man, and get on the... You ready? Okay, here they are, Joe Dickhead and the Professor.
Top the Las Vegas Strip. This is Joe Dickhead and the Professor. It's time now for your NFL picks. And we have a group of games for this coming weekend that are going to be phenomenal, fantastic, in every sense of the word, in every stretch of any imagination that one could possibly imagine. It is the National Football League on this Thanksgiving weekend. And what we've got for you, oh my God, I'm trying to find my notes. That's why I'm dragging it out.
Okay, well, you do that.
Well, I was told you I was putting my pants on.
I'm not ready either.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's Joe Dickhead and the Professor from high atop the Las Vegas Strip. They're still putting their clothes on. You don't have to be dressed, man, because you're on radio. Do you understand? You understand, right? Okay, here they come. Joe Dickhead and the Professor. Go.
All right, so here we are with these games, and I'll tell you something right now. A big, big write-up. I know that Dickman and Steve Bozzelli will be doing that Cowboy Raider game tomorrow, so why don't we start off with that one? As you know, our criteria for this weekend, the team with the animal nickname is the winner. Now, we have a couple of very ambiguous games. That's right. Teams that have neither animal nor human names. So we had to make a judgment call in those games. Starting things off, though, the Raiders and Cowboys. The Raiders could be the animal team there because the Cowboys are clearly the human team. So we're thinking a Raider could possibly be a raiding band of ants, maybe some rats, some mice, something like that. So we picked the Raiders to beat the Cowboys tomorrow in Dallas, Texas. The Packers at the Lions. Well, we know that a Packer is someone that works in a they pack stuff. That's got to be a human being. The Lions are clearly the animal team. The Lions win. The Steelers and the Ravens. Well, what do you think? The Ravens, that's a bird. They're playing there in Baltimore. We picked the Ravens in that football game. Professor?
Yes, now we have the Titans and the Colts. Now, here's a game that could be ambiguous, like we were saying. See, a Titan is clearly it could be a human being, but it also could be an animal. A Colt, we think, is an animal, isn't it?
Yes, a Colt's an animal.
All right, so we went ahead and picked the Colts.
What animal could be a Titan?
That's it. I told him. I said, there's no animal that's a titan. But he kept saying, well, you never know. Could be. And I said, a titan's a giant. He said, well, what about like a giant squid or something like that? I said, would you get real? God lassoed me to you, Professor. It doesn't mean I've got to stay with you.
Well, okay, so we picked the Colts in that game.
Titans and Colts.
Yes, that's right.
We've got it, Phil.
The next game, the Jaguars and the Browns. The Jaguars from Jacksonville are named after a cat from the jungle. And a brown, you got to be too. What is that?
Either the name of the guy that founded the team or something on their underwear.
In any event, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars as the team to pick, and the team that's going to win that game. The Buccaneers and the Panthers. A Buccaneer is a human. That's a pirate and a Panther. You know what that is. So we've got the Carolina Panthers in that game.
The Chicago Bears and the Vikings. The animal, the Viking. The Bear. The Chicago Bears will win that game.
Now, here's one that was tricky. The Patriots and the Texans. They are clearly two teams named after human beings. But which of those two teams' human name is more animal-like? We think Texans. We're picking the Texans in our upset special.
You know, you guys had better figure that one out, okay?
Well,
you gotta figure that. If you're gonna do an upset special, don't tell everybody what you're picking. So you're picking the Texans.
Well, yeah, I guess now it's,
Why don't you another game? Make another game an upset special.
You don't have another upset special.
Shoot. Anyway, the next game after that is the Cardinals and the Eagles. Now, those are two animals. So we decided to pick the more formidable animal. We thought the Cardinal was pussy.
Yeah, we thought that was interesting. Now, we're picking the Eagles against the Cardinals. The Dolphins at the Jets, three guesses. The first two don't count. The Dolphins to beat the Jets. The Falcons taking on the Buffalo Bills, clearly named after a human being. It'll be the Falcons, the Rams, and 49ers. The Rams, they're an animal. The Bengals and the Chargers. The Bengal is a cat. The Chargers, what, a horse?
I don't know. A Charger, yeah, it's a horse.
Well, we think the Bengal is a far more formidable animal. The Broncos and the Chiefs. The Broncos win that football game. And then we have the Monday night game. There's one more game. Giants and Redskins. The Giants. The Giants are badass. And we pick the Seahawks against the Saints. This is Joe Dickhead and the Professor with our NFL picks from my atop Las Vegas.
Thanks, guys. What a mess.
How long are those idiots going to keep doing that?
I don't know. But, you know, if their record goes under 500, I say we jettison the whole bit because it's one thing to pick teams based upon their names, how many vowels are in the coach's name, which city has the fewest high school graduates. And it's something else entirely to actually pick them correctly. So they're 21-19.
Yeah, they had disastrous last week. Well, see, I thought it out. They went 9-4, and then they went 7-7.
Right.
And last week they went 5-8.
So they better improve on that this week, because if they don't, I say we get rid of them, because that's these two guys. And what do you mean they can't come on the air because they haven't gotten dressed yet? They're on the radio.
Yeah, well, he had his pants off. I don't know.
Well, what's going on there?
Nothing. They're just sharing a hotel suite or something. And with those two guys, it's a suite. So they got the Lions over the Packers, the Raiders over the Cowboys, Ravens over the Steelers, Colts over the Titans. They're picking the Jaguars over the Browns, the Panthers over the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are on a winning streak. I don't know how significant that is. The Bears and the Vikings. They got the Bears over the Vikings. They got the Texans in an upset over the Patriots. I don't think so. Eagles over the Cardinals, the Dolphins over the Jets, Falcons over the Bills, the Rams to beat the 49ers, the Bengals to defeat the Chargers, the Broncos over the Chiefs, the Giants over the Redskins in Washington, and the Seahawks at home to beat the Saints on Monday night. There's a few upsets there. There's a few upsets there that they've picked. So we'll see how things pan out for Joe Dickhead and the Professor this weekend with the football. And Bud, you and Steve Bozell doing the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the Raiders and the Raiders and the Brinko.
The Raiders and the Cowboys.
The Brinko.
The Bunko. The Denver Bunko. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. And welcome back to the Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. So, Joe Dickhead, man, wow, was that guy, I'm telling you, never was a guy that calls the, or is a handicapper for football, better named. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you know about the touts. You grew up in that environment.
Well, I did, yeah.
What do you mean about tout?
A tout is a guy that is telling you, hey, I know the results, you know, of the forthcoming sporting event. I will tell you, I have the right, the correct predictions. And this is particularly important, obviously, for people that gamble or that bet on the games. Now, Margaret was mentioning me. I grew up in Arcadia, California, which is the home of Santa Anita Racetrack. And that was the center of our town. I mean, that was the, for 6 months out of the year, every year, Santa Anita came to life. And there we are in our little town, this little city in the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains. And we're sort of like 13 miles away from Los Angeles. But, you know, the suburbs can be a world unto themselves sometimes. And that's what it was, you know, Little League and just the regular stuff that towns do. And then, man, like for like 5 or 6 months, boom, here's Santa Anita Racetrack. And cars pouring in from all parts of the area, and all kinds of weird people and strange wine drinking hobos. And
well, was there a safety problem in terms of the children?
Now that's what I was going to get to. There wasn't. Now I you know, this was back long before there was this heavy consciousness that we have today about children. Strangers. I mean, we've always had a consciousness about kids and strangers for the last 100 years. But I mean, we're taking kids to school today in armored personnel carriers and tanks. You know, back then we were still riding our bikes to school. But I never ever, growing up, ever had an adult come to me and say, "You be careful of these creeps at the racetrack." You know, nobody ever said that. They would say to us, "Be careful of the traffic." But I to this day, knowing the world that we live in today. And how we are with kids. The fact that I would ride off on my bicycle every day to school and ride home every night from school with all of those automobiles, all of that traffic pouring out of that racetrack, and it just never was an issue, you know?
Well, did anybody get run over?
I never heard of one kid getting run over. Certainly nobody from my school. Never heard of a kid getting run over. Never heard of a kid getting kidnapped. If we had, we would have been told, you know, they would have said something to us. So there would have been but it was just never an issue. And what we did as kids is we just were careful. You know, here comes all that traffic, better be careful coming out of there. And we were. But one of the things that I used to see, and I left my little town of Arcadia when I was 18. As soon as I turned 18, it was like, bye. That's it for me. That's been great. See you later.
Now, why did you do that? Because it was so small town and you wanted to go out and see the world and enjoy life.
Yeah, but more to the point that I was going to a JC in Pasadena, so I had to move, you know. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the touts. So you'd see these guys, and they lined up on Huntington Drive coming into Santa Anita Racetrack. If you were driving in from Los Angeles or wherever, there was a big main drag called Huntington Drive, and those guys lined up. They set up their little stands, or they just simply were standing there, and they waved their little pamphlets, these little sheets that they would sell. And
what's on that?
On that would be their picks for the races. So they had all of the day's races, 1 through 8, 1 through 9, however many races there were, and they had their pick there, and it cost you whatever it cost you, $5 for the sheet, something like that. And of course, if you picked them right, well, then guys are coming back the next day, and they're going to get your sheet. I'd hate to be a guy that was picking them wrong, and you're still out there waving that sheet. I bet you they got all kinds of crap from people. Probably had stuff thrown at them.
Guys stand out there on the road and something like that?
Yeah, they stood out on the road, and they would wave these sheets, and they'd have names like, you know, Pick'em Johnny or Joey's Hot Picks or some jazz like that, you know, Express, Louis the Express. They always had these really great names. And they waved their sheets, and they would sell those. And then there was, when you got into the track proper, the racetrack itself, the guys were selling the newspapers, and every newspaper, whether it was the LA Times, the Pasadena Star News, we had two dailies in those days, the Herald Examiner, they all had their racing sheet, and that was their guys that would pick them.
Now, you played poker with one of these guys once, didn't you?
John Beirutti. John was the guy who called the races for the Herald Examiner, and John had an apartment down in Seal Beach. He's a hell of a nice guy, and we were playing poker one afternoon. That's the guy who...
Is this the guy that someone grabbed the chicken with a fishing...
Yeah. We were playing poker, and he was barbecuing chicken, and his neighbor from upstairs reeled down a fishing line with a hook on it. So while we were playing poker, the door was open so he could check to make sure the chicken wasn't burning. I glanced over, and I saw this hook in this piece of chicken, and it was being dragged across the grill so the guy could secure the hook and gradually started to reel it up, and then I busted the guy, and John ran out there.
Are you kidding me?
It was a joke, you know. But that was John Beirut. Yeah, he went on to be the handicapper for the Herald Examiner. I don't know where he is now. He's probably someplace. I think he went on to pretty decent success. So that was it. That was the culture of the time. But that's what a tout is, bud. A tout is a guy that touts the races, you know.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting story. And I had a brother of mine who sold newspapers, and he would tout the different races as he sold the newspapers, you know, only he would say that we would be selling the Syracuse Tribune or the Canandaigua Bugle. I forget what, I think it was the Canandaigua Bugle.
You had races up there.
Oh, yes, we did have races up there. That was horse racing country, Canandaigua.
Now, what, did you have Saratoga Springs?
The what?
Saratoga.
Smile when you say that. Yes, we did. Now I remember, yeah.
Saratoga, man. They had the harness racing, right?
Well, I don't. Yes, we had Saratoga Springs, and my brother would go out there and sell newspapers. He sold the Canandaigua Bugle or the, I forget what it was called.
The Canandaigua Bugle, that's the paper?
Yes, I think it was either the Bugle or the Blabs. It was the there was Syracuse Blab. It was the Blabbermouth or something. I don't know the names of these papers, Margaret. I don't know.
Well, that's a very unusual name for a newspaper.
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, it doesn't. The point I'm trying to make is that he would call out the name of the paper. He would say, this is my brother, and he's in the parking lot there at Saratoga Springs.
All right.
And he's saying, this is the Canandaigua Blab, or the Syracuse Bugle. Get your winners here for the Blab, or the Blue. Now you got me thinking too much about it, damn it.
Well, all right, so what's the upshot of the story?
Well, now I forget, because she's got me...
Well, don't blame me, Professor. I'm sorry, General.
You called me Professor. Is that supposed to mean that I'm...
Just a joke.
All right, so you don't remember?
Yeah, well, my brother would say that, get your winners here. It's the Daily Blab or the Bugle or whatever the hell that rag was. And he'd say, and he'd call out the word winner. He'd say, Blab, winner, Blab, winner. That's what he'd say. And my mother thought there was something wrong with him because she came down to give him his lunch one day and he's standing there going, winners, Blab, winners, Blab.
Well, that's what they do, right?
Well, that's what I tried to tell her, but she thought there was, so he had to have a CAT scan to find out if he had a brain tumor.
Was he okay?
No, he had a tumor, but it was benign.
Wait a minute. He was saying Blab winners, Blab winners.
Yes.
Wait, that's what they do.
I know that. My mother thought he had a brain tumor because he sounded like an idiot. I said, no, he doesn't. She went and got him a CAT scan anyway. Turned out he did.
He had a brain tumor.
Yes, but it was benign. That was the good news.
Boy, I'll tell you, some of these stories you guys tell.
Well, what are you, calling me a liar?
No, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying. Oh, okay.
He's okay. Did he keep his job?
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know if he kept the job or not, but I'll have to ask him. He's still around.
So your brother was going Blab Winners, Blab Winners. That's the name of the paper, and that they had the winners.
Yes. And my mother thought he sounded like a blithering idiot and thought he might have had a brain problem.
Well, I can see how she'd think that.
Okay, that story is far too weird for me, man. But I'm glad your brother's okay, and more power to him. Wow. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
You ever hear a guy call out like that?
I mean, I've heard guys calling out the, hey, get your star news, get your star news, winners for the, you know. They do a whole rap, man. I ain't never heard anybody go, winners, Blab, winners, times, you know. No wonder his mom thought he had a brain tumor. And she was right, you know.
She was right, but there was nothing wrong with him. It was a benign tumor. It was either a brain tumor or it was a pimple.
Will you get out of here, man? World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Join us. Get a backstage pass. Enjoy life. Learn to love again. By the way, after the show tonight, check out our show log, and we will have two Bobby Dooley podcasts for you forthcoming over the holidays, as well as two classic podcasts to check it out.
So, you said winner's blab.
Yes. How many times do you want me to say it?
Step right up.
The hell is this?
What?
Take a ride.
You're on, Phil. Go.
World famous Phil Henry Show. What is this, Dickman?
What a beating, you know. Go, 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 go.
World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
You were bellyaching about the down-tempo music.
What am I, in the middle of a Chamber of Commerce movie now? Listen to this.
I think it's pretty nice, you know. Feel very uplifted and walking along.
Yeah, it's very lively, that's for sure. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Dickman, you know.
Now, Mr. Hogg's on the phone. He encouraged it and he gave it.
He gave it a what?
Hey, Phil, this is Phil. It's David. I gave Bud the go. Turn it down a little bit, will you, Bud?
Sorry.
I gave him the go ahead because I heard you belly aching about how down tempo it was. He was using all that folk music and stuff you wanted to blow your brains up to. I said, why don't you do something real, you know, spry and uplifting and real Thanksgiving y? And he didn't have anything, so I went down to the store and bought this and brought it over. You didn't see me because I stuck in and stuck out. I got Daphne down in the car. Yes, she's got a box of donuts. So, what do you think?
I think it's going too much the other way, man.
Oh, come on, will you?
You know, Phil, you do an awful lot of complaining for a guy that really isn't pushing the buttons anymore.
I know how to push the buttons. And I'll will you turn that down? Thank you. God.
I like that, what do you call that?
David, this is Margaret. I'm the singer.
Oh, I know.
You call, that's like a chorus. That's a beautiful sort of, it's an exclamatory chorus. So that you go,
All right, fine.
How dare you?
I'm just trying to find out what this is. So, all right, very good. I like it, and I think we should go with it. Phil, what do you think?
No, I don't think we should go with it. I don't like it. It's too goofy sounding, but thanks for the effort.
Boy, I'll tell you, what an ingrate, man.
I think it's good.
David picked this out.
Now listen to this. Oh! See, that's what singers used to do back in the day, you know? The ho-ho-ho! You see?
Yeah.
Phil, what makes you think you're better than everyone else? You can't sing like this?
No, I can't sing like that.
And you can't sit and enjoy it?
It sounds to me like a bunch of... It sounds like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir on a roller coaster. You know? Oh, wow!
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
The Mormon Tab... God, that was just filled with vim and vigor and serotonin and...
Who?
Not who, it's a what. It's a neurotransmitter that gives us all of our good feelings.
What's it called?
Serotonin.
That's not the song that Hall & Oates did.
No, that's not the song Hall & Oates did. They did Sarah Smile. Serotonin.
Well, never mind.
All right, so thanks a lot, bud. That's very uplifting, and I'll take it under advisement, man. It's good stuff. World, by the way, that comes from something called, what is that from, anyway?
That's from that Ultra Lounge, man. It's the one you want everybody to get.
Yeah, it's got a lot of different sounds and different approaches to stuff. I think it's very good.
Well, Phil, you need something up-tempo.
Don't we have enough? Or is everything we got all of this depressing stuff like Bud was playing tonight? We gotta have more than that.
Well, we do, but I mean, it's like stuff that's uplifting, like this Walking in Memphis, see? This is uplifting, but it starts at...
No, I don't want this. I don't want that whole wow.
Phil, let me tell you something, because as I said, you know I've been a professional singer. What you're dealing with there is, as the general was saying, and he was joking, he called it the Mormon Tabernacle Choir on a roller coaster. Well, it's not really that, but what you're doing is you're taking the listener for an emotional ride that never varies beyond exhilaration. So, for instance, if I were singing, I'd go 2, 3. If I were singing, I would be dancing to it as well. So I'd go heel, toe, 1, 2, 3. Ooh, woo! Like that, you see?
God, that scared the hell out of me.
Well, maybe you ought to butch up a little bit.
Well, Margaret, you're kind of loud.
Margaret, it was a tad loud.
No, it wasn't loud. Phil's a real sis. All right, so do you, but you get the feeling, right?
Yeah, you just did it right in my ear.
Oh, poor baby. Do you want me to go and get you a blanket and a warm bottle of milk? Good God, Phil.
All right.
So then what you do is the music will pick up again. It go 2, 3, 4. Woo! Woo! You see what I mean?
No, I don't see what you mean.
You know, I hate it when you start clowning around pretending I don't sing good.
Margaret, I'm not saying you don't sing good. I'm just saying what you just did there.
What I'm trying to give you is the feel of that kind of music. So, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-woo-woo-woo. See?
Margaret, that sounds almost Halloween-like.
What are you talking about?
It sounds like a ghost or something.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going, ooh!
You guys really take the cake. I mean, do all of you want to die tonight, or do you want to spread it out? What's so funny?
Nothing. All right, so...
Yeah, so then you go... Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. If I'm a singer and I'm conducting this, this is what I want to hear. Now, I know that sounded like I fell out of a roller coaster, but... That's not really what happened. What that was me giving... Oh, forget it. I'm not going to sit here and explain it with you three laughing.
Well, it's funny. What do you want us to say? It's funnier than hell.
There's actually four of us.
Well, three of you, thank you, General, for not laughing. Three of them were.
It's funny, Margaret. If you're going to tell me how these things are done, if you're going to tell me how these songs are sung... I would at least like to hear it done in a way that maybe you need some musical accompaniment, because the way you just did it there.
The way I just did it there, what?
You're going, ooh, you know.
Is there toilet paper?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there she goes.
You'll notice I haven't been going to the toilet.
No, I will give you that much.
Margaret has been easing back the trips to the toilet. I think you need to be a little kinder to her, as she is trying to demonstrate these different things.
You know, I don't mean to be unkind, okay? But I think that if Margaret needs to have musical accompaniment, then she should have musical accompaniment. She comes in here just, you know, with no musical accompaniment. She's going, ooh! It's off key, and I don't know what it is she's saying.
Yeah, she's been doing those gigs that Frank booked her in those dumps.
Let's get him on the phone here so we can... We're going to get Frank on the line.
Why?
Because he's the guy that's been booking you into those dumps, like you were saying.
Oh, God.
Yeah, hey, Ted, it's Phil. Can I get Frank? Hey, Frank?
How you doing, young man?
Good. Margaret's here. Look, she was demonstrating some singing from a Ultra Lounge disc we have, and it was a little bit off-key because she doesn't have musical accompaniment. Now, I know that she has been not very happy with the places you've been booking her into on Friday nights.
Hold on for a minute. I book him in. Look, everywhere that I book Margaret, I book him into one of the best places in the town that I book him into. So the point I'm... Let's say I book him into Riverside. I'm booking him in a high-class dump. Not a dump, but I'm booking him into high-class places in Riverside.
The Ham Hock is not a high-class place. I don't care, Frank, if it's the best place in Riverside, California. It is not high class.
I'm telling you that the Ham Hock is the best place. I talked to Bill Swenson. She's owned the place for years. Now, the other place, what's the other one that you didn't like?
Well, I didn't. What's the place? Oh, my God. Testicles at the Harbor? What is that?
Testicles at the Harbor is the place in Marina Del Rey. Now, what don't you like about that?
Well, first of all, I didn't like the title, the name of the place. Secondly, it is very far off the beaten path. Thirdly, hello, we had maybe about 8 or 9 people.
Well, they only allow couples, so it had to be either 8 or 10 people. But I talked to Shirley, and he told me that his husband, you know, both Shirley and Dwayne own the place, okay?
Yes, I like them both.
All right. I talked to Shirley, and he said that his husband... Dwayne, that she was out putting up the flyers herself, and she also, by the way, just so you know, she also got a spot on one of the local shows promoting you being there.
Well, why didn't they have me on the show?
I don't know. It was a disc jockey that was working that night. Brian Williams, I think, is her name, and she was on one of the stations. She talked to Dwayne. And she was talking to her about the appearance, and then when I talked to Shirley, he said that she did good.
Oh, she did, huh? Well, let me tell you something. You know what we had. We had 10 people.
Well, I asked Dwayne, and I said, howdy-do, meaning you, And he said, she said, how'd he do? And I said, no, how did he do? And he said, oh, okay, all right. And she said, well, he did fine. And I said, well...
Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I can't. You just hung up on my husband. I know, I can't take it any longer, okay? I can't listen to him with the he, she every time.
Yeah, getting less and less tolerant, Aunt Phil.
Well, somebody's got to do something. I talked to him, and he, and she, you know...
Well, we're talking about these toilet bowls he booked me into. I'll take it up with him on later on.
I think that's the idea. I mean, you're getting 10 people, man. That's no good.
Well, tell me about it, Phil. I know.
All right, so, and plus, isn't Clarence Gomez available for rehearsal or something?
Clarence has an awful lot on his plate, and we try to sit down and we try to go over the songs, but occasionally it's very, very difficult. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you for now. When I get more, when I get it, you'll get it.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Our final segment here on this Thanksgiving Eve. World famous Phil Henry. All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And of course, we will be with you tomorrow. Only we're not going to be on the air tomorrow. Our show, of course, taking the Thanksgiving weekend off, but on Phil TV, audio only, will be Bud and Steve Bozell doing the game of the week. That'll start at 1:30, Raiders and Cowboys. And then just a program note, on Monday, I'm going in to tape Drunk History on Comedy Central. Now,
how are you going to work on Monday night?
Well, that's just it. We're not going to have a show Monday night because I'm going to literally all have been drinking. And that's the nature of the show. It's the first time probably in the history of any occupation where a guy is able to say, I won't be able to work tonight because I'll be drunk, and have an actual legitimate excuse for being drunk. Drunk History is a show on Comedy Central that features storytelling by a narrator. And the story that he is telling is acted out by two prominent actors. To give an example, on Drunk History, they've had acting out the different scenes that the narrator is describing. They've had Will Ferrell, they've had Don Cheadle, they had John C. Reilly, they've had Crispin Glover. They've had some pretty, you know, first-rate performers. And the narrators are different people. Jen Kirkman has been one. Yours Truly will be another. I mean, you can look up on their website the people that they've had who've been actually the storytellers. Now, the storyteller or the narrator is the guy that's getting hammered. And I think that as I've talked to the guys, the producers, it's a great show, and everybody on the show is terrific. The purpose of Drunk History is to, quote, bring history to the people. And oftentimes when we talk about things, where are we? We're in the bar room, and we're discussing something or giving an opinion about something or hearing someone tell a story about something while we're having drinks. The comedic value of Drunk History is that when you get a couple of belts in you, you start telling stories in a very amusing way.
Well, you can do that without having a drink, Phil.
No, I know, but in keeping with the spirit of the show, I'm going to. And so that's what that is. Now, how hammered I'm going to be, I don't know. But it doesn't matter because you're not going to be able to do a radio show if you've been, you just can't, believe me, trust me, if you've been drinking. So Monday, you might say, is going to be just one big party for me. I'm going to be getting drunk, earning money over on Comedy Central, and then, you know. But nonetheless, what we will do next week, as we always do, if there is a day that we have not had a show, we'll have some kind of a bonus show for you. And this coming Saturday, we'll probably have a bonus show on Phil TV. And, of course, we have the game tomorrow. Monday, we will not have a show because I'll be doing Drunk History. I'll let you know when Drunk History actually airs, and that will be cool. We can all maybe we'll have a viewing party or something, you know.
Well, is this Drunk History? Now, is this something you can, will it be on at night, or can you, what do you call it? Can you DVD it, or?
You mean DVR?
Well, I don't know. What do you do? What's it called when you TiVo it?
You can TiVo it. You can, yeah. You'll be able to do that. Do you have TiVo?
Well, I don't know what I've got. I've got a television and I've got a box. I don't know what the hell it does. You know, and my wife doesn't know what it does. I've got to get my son, and my son doesn't know, my grandson.
Well, get the grandson over there, and he'll explain it to you.
Well, I don't need a television explained to me.
No, I know that, but if you need to TiVo it.
Yes, that's what I've got to do. I've got to TiVo it, and I've got to learn how to TiVo it. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get my grandson.
All right, no,
hold on, because I want to be very clear here. If anybody's listening from the cable company that provides me with my cable service.
Is it Time Warner?
No, it is not Time Warner.
Well, which one is it?
I don't know, but if anyone's listening, you know me, General Galen Shaw, you know my home. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to figure this TiVo out, and I'm going to be recording things, and you can just live with that, all right? Or as the man said, live in it.
Why wouldn't they want you to do that? I mean,
this cable company I've got, they get their kicks getting phone calls from me when I say, you know something, I can't get... The program isn't recording. Is that Dan Patrick? Why is he standing like he's a fruit?
Will you... General, are you talking about something having to do with cable or Dan Patrick?
No, I just saw Dan Patrick. He was standing there like a male model. What? Anyway...
What's the point about a cable?
What's that?
What is the point on a cable?
The point I'm making about the cable is I'm letting my cable company know that I'll be TiVoing the Phil Hendry drunk history and there's nothing you can do about it. All right?
Why would they want to do something about it?
I told you, because they get their kicks crapping all over me. Now, I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Look, General.
No, don't handle me, Phil, and tell me how I'm wrong.
No, hold on for a minute, man. Everybody has the same problems. We all have problems with the cable company. We're all making a... I'm switching over, man. As soon as I'm done with the studio, because we're going to be refitting our studio and doing some things, I'm getting DirecTV. Don't even worry about it. DirecTV.
Well, how do I do that?
You get it. You order it through the company. You know?
Well, that's what I want to do then.
Yeah. But everybody has the same problem, man. And I don't honestly believe the cable company is on purpose crapping on you. I think it's just the nature of the service. And it's increasingly an outdated way of delivering this kind of entertainment. It's an outdated way. It's an outdated platform. And they're going to have to do something different. I don't know what it is.
Well, what I heard someone say they have to upgrade all the lines and the cable and the cable line. Is that right, Phil?
Well,
that's what they got to do.
They got to get different stuff to upgrade it.
Well, I don't know what the technical thing is. You know.
Well, whatever the technical thing is, they better pull their heads out of the recesses of their, you know what, and get in the game. Because the service that I've got, my friend, I might as well be trying to pull in a programming sitting on the top of the Himalaya, of the mountain up there, the Himalaya, you know?
Well, I don't think it's that bad.
You're telling me? Yes, it is.
All right, well, I will tell you that the thing to do, I think, is either to, yeah, you're right, kick their ass a little bit or get DirecTV or some other form of, because I think the cable companies are definitely... Yeah, man. I mean, the complaints just never end. And I had DirecTV when I lived at my other house. I had it for, I don't know, I had it for 5 years, 5-6 years. And I never, ever had a major complaint. Never. The biggest complaint I had with DirecTV was the following thing. When it rains and the water gets on the dish, you get some problems there.
Well, you had the dish on the ground. You're not supposed to have it on the ground. It's got to be up close to the satellite.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot, Margaret. I need to get it up another 15 feet closer to the satellite.
Well, what is he laughing at?
Well, no. I put it on the ground because it was easier to get to. You put it on the roof.
No, wait, hold on a minute. The satellite dish is supposed to be on the roof.
Yeah, you're right, it is. But I had it on the ground so the guy could get to it. And the only problem, what I'm trying to tell you is the only problem we ever had was with rain on the dish. This is something that a lot of people complain about.
So you didn't have it on the roof. Why?
What difference does it make if it's 10 feet closer to the satellite is thousands of miles in outer space?
Yeah, we've got to get it close to it.
10 feet or 15 feet or whatever it is? You got to be kidding me.
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad point.
You're telling me it's not a bad point. But in any event, that's what we did, and that was great. So I never had a problem with those guys, and I like their service a lot. I'm not trying to get you guys to get rid of your cable service, but yes, I am.
Oh, you're not going to make many friends over there, I'll tell you that.
Well, like, I've got friends there anyway. All right, guys, see you on, maybe Monday, but for sure Tuesday. Tune us in for the game of the week, as well as our bonus show on Saturday. And we'll be telling you about drunk history. Phil Hendry, have a good Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.